Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, the 8th chapter, from verse 1 through verse 27. Romans 8, 1 through 27, but first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, and we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, and that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, and the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. DePuter, who has had eye surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we have read out of thy holy word the testimony of thy servant, who did testify that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And when it is so for us, in a private way, then how much more when we are called upon to lead our congregation in prayer and in supplication to the Most High God. Lord, grant unto us then that spirit of grace and supplications that comes from Thee, and then it shall also return unto Thee. And that it may be as we have read also, that the Spirit may make intercession for us with those groanings which cannot be uttered, that is from our side not to be understood, but it is to be received out of Thy holy word. Oh, then that we may stand in awe of Thee, for we may read of that altar of incense upon which did go up that cloud, that it may come before Thee. And so we read also in the book of Revelation that Thou hast shown it unto Thy servant John, how that incense did come up before Thee, even into Thy holy nostrils, and that all the supplication of Thy church, and that is cleansed, that is washed, and that it is made fit by the Son of God, by the Spirit of God, to come into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And Lord, so we try in this morning to lay before Thee all our needs. And there are so many that are temporal, for we have each a body, and we go each to our long home. And the longer that we live, the more that we do feel, that we walk with a body which will waste away as a moth in a moment when Thou wilt speak. Look then upon all that have become old and that have to deal with the difficulties and the frailties of their bodies, and that Thou may supply for all the weaknesses of mind and body together, which is so frail because of our sin in our father Adam. Look then also on her that has received surgery in the week that is gone by, and we may acknowledge Thee that Thou hast made for her all things well, that Thou may heal her now further, and grant Thy blessing on all that has taken place. And could it please Thee to remember her with a token for good from above, for the need of her soul, her husband, their daughter, and all their children. And may it be for each and every one of us together, we may gather together in Thy house of prayer. And it is after a week wherein Thou hast shown to us Thy great long-suffering goodness in the way of nature, wherein that Thou hast given the former rains, that Thou hast given the moisture upon the fields that is so indispensable for us and for our children. O Lord, Thy goodness, despite all our iniquity, that is so, so very great, and that our hearts may be so humbled under it, that we would be ashamed to go on in the way of sin, and that we would be ashamed to walk anymore without God in this world, with our back turned to Thee, but that under all Thy goodness, and that it may lead us to a true repentance, and that we may come and with all our children upon our knees, that we may beseech thee to give what thou commandest when thou sayest, turn ye unto me, not only with thy judgments, but that thou sayest it also with all thy blessings. Oh, that it may break our hard and stony hearts, and that thou may look upon us then also when we are gathered together in thy day. Lord, it is such a wonder that we with our children are permitted to gather around thy holy word and everlasting testimony. In the way of thy providence, a blessing withheld from the greatest part of this world. And we set aside, privileged to gather week after week and day after day about thy word. And now, Lord, thy servant did say, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. And we go each one another day, another week, closer and closer to our death and to the end of the short time that we are given here below. And this Sabbath day, that will be one of those many that will be brought back to us upon that great day when we have to stand at thy judgment seat. Lord, thou knowest that it can only testify against us. If thou wilt leave us to ourself because we have sinned in our father Adam, and we have chosen that way, and we continue in that state of death and rebellion. And now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Oh, we beseech thee for the unction of thy Holy Spirit. In this morning hour, in the preaching of thy word, and may it be that thou may go from heart to heart amongst this, the flock that thou hast entrusted unto our care, each one with a soul, and we as the under-shepherd, but we do not know the heart of each one. And it is for us, O Lord, when we are called to care for each of the sheep in an outward way, for we know not who are thine, and for each one of the little lambs. And Lord, for us, that is a task that is too high. But thou art that great shepherd, and thou hast promised to us, and that thou hast put thy words in our mouth. And now there are little ones, and there are older ones. And Lord, we beseech thee, that that word, and that thou hast promised to put in our mouth, that it may so be put in our mouth in this morning hour, that it may be as a sharp two-edged sword, and that it may go into the heart to pierce it, to divide it asunder, and to grant that new life that each one cannot miss. It is thy work, O Lord. We are but thy servant, and we can only speak in an outward way, but thou art all powerful. And there are those also for whom that it has become a burden, that they lie in the midst of death,
and that they travel to a never-ending eternity, and that to feel something of that awful state that they are not able to do anything about. And then, Lord, give them also in this morning a cry to Thee, to whom is given all the power in the heavens and in the earth, that Thou may come and that Thou may give what they cannot give to themselves. Remember Thy people, all them we have no ability to lead them, but they need to be fed also. And we beseech Thee then that Thou may come, and that Thou may give a word that the meek might eat and be satisfied, and that they may yet hear their own name preached from the housetops what takes place in the inner chamber, and that they may hear something of that remedy that their soul longs after. Lord, look on us. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Forgive and take away our many sins. Wash us and cleanse us and look upon us in and through Thy only begotten Son, who is so well beloved and so pleasing to Thee. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, O God, for Thee. It seeks for God and ever looks and longs the living God to see, and longs in the living God to see. The last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund, and we have to announce for our seniors that the seniors' morning that was scheduled for this coming Tuesday had to be postponed for 2 weeks until Tuesday, May the 4th. Psalter 114, 1, 3, 5, and 6. Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which we have read to you, Romans 8, and thereof the 23rd verse, Romans 8, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So far, the words of our text. A church waiting for the adoption. First, who is waiting? And second, how that they are waiting. And third, for what they are waiting. A church waiting for the adoption. First, who. Second, how. Third, for what they are waiting. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Very often, congregation, we read in God's Word about waiting. Thus, it is something that is often experienced in the life of God's church. And what is all included in that waiting that can hardly be expressed in the natural life. We know a little bit what it is to wait, that there is in waiting an expectation. Thus, there is a looking for something. There is an eye that is going out into the future in that waiting. And there is not a waiting wherein there is a sloth, but a waiting wherein there is a great care. If we think, children, about Jacob and his sons, how that those sons have taken from him his son Benjamin, and they have gone to that far away Egypt, and then Jacob is waiting, and he is waiting for that day that his sons shall arrive again. What do you think? Do you think that a day has passed by wherein Jacob has forgotten his children, that he has forgotten his son, that he has not looked forward to the return of his Benjamin? No, that waiting of Jacob, that is a waiting which included a very great care. And that is a waiting wherein much patience also needs to be exercised. Waiting is never easy. And that is for the things of this life. When we think about Abraham, then even he had finally such a difficult time to wait for that promise of the Lord finally to be fulfilled. And then it is the Lord himself that is necessary to give that patience that they may wait. Finally, he is no longer anymore able, and he is taking Hagar also to be his wife in order that he may help the Lord to fulfill that promise of the Lord. Doesn't David say, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning? Yea, I say, more than they that watch for the morning." Thus, it is the experience of the life of that church and known also of God himself, Because we read of the Lord Jesus that he speaks of that widow and the unjust judge, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why? Because then the Lord is not answering immediately, waiting for the adoption, and not only they, but ourselves also. Thus, not only they, who is that? That they. Then we need to go back to verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Thus, the apostle speaks about the creation. What does he mean by the creation? He means actually all of the earth, everything that the Lord has created. But in that word creation, he is not speaking in this instance about man and the rational beings, but about the earth itself and all of the animals and all of that which is irrational. Thus, he speaks about the creature in the verses before, and the earnest expectation of the creature, that is, that of all of the animals, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Thus, the creation, the inanimate creation, that which cannot move, and also the animate, that which moves, but that which is irrational, thus everything outside of the crown of the creation, the mankind, they are waiting, we read. And not only they, thus not only the creation, not only all of the creatures, the animals in the world, not only they, but ourselves also. Whom? Ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Otherwise, Paul writes that they have the earnest of the Spirit. Thus, of whom does Paul now speak when he says not only they, but ourselves also? Then he is speaking actually not of the entire human race, but he speaks of God's true church. And he says that God's true church, they are also waiting. Thus, congregation, are you also waiting? You say, am I one of that true church? Whom does Paul say that church is that is waiting? He says, they are they which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Thus, the Apostle Paul is giving a mark of that true church. The first fruits of the Spirit. What are the first fruits? Our children know that too. When there will be a seed going into the ground, and then in due time there will also be the plants rising up, and there will be fruits upon those plants, and some of those fruits must be the very first ones. And so now the first fruits. When you will see, children, those first fruits coming, then maybe then you are running into the house that you say to your mother, to your father, there is some fruit upon the plants. I see the beans, they are coming. I see the peppers, they are coming. The tomatoes, they are coming. The wheat that is coming. And why then do you go tell about those first fruits? Because that is an encouragement. Because you see that there is something that is growing, that we are going, it looks like we are going to receive now something for all the labors of our hands. So with those first fruits, there is hope. With those first fruits, there is an encouragement. And with those first fruits, the Lord says, there ought also to be an acknowledgement. And therefore, the children of Israel had to take of those first fruits and they had to wave them before the Lord to acknowledge that they were from the Lord himself. Have you now a guarantee? Have you now a guarantee that all is going to be well and that you are soon going to bring in all that crop? You have no guarantee. Why not? Because there can still go so much wrong. Because there still can come a great storm. No, it is not a guarantee, those first fruits unto you, but those first fruits are indeed, they are an encouragement. And without the first fruits, then you have a guarantee that there is no harvest, because there must come first fruits. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Congregation, is that not a wonder to read this in the Holy Word of God? The first fruits of the Spirit. Then there are not only first fruits in a natural way in this world, but there are also first fruits in a spiritual way. First fruits there are also in the life of the soul. And now those first fruits, they are so significant. Those first fruits, they are so very, very important. Why? Because those first fruits, they are a great encouragement. Oh, they are an encouragement that there will be more also to follow. They are an encouragement that that this is not the end, but that this is now just the beginning. Now, from the side of man, then there is no guarantee, because we also read of a Demas. Paul says that he has forsaken me. Then he has gone back again into the world. Then there is a Pliable who comes out of the city of destruction. Indeed, it looks like this is so promising, but so much can still happen. No, from the side of men, those first fruits, they do not give a guarantee. But now from the side of the Lord, that is so very, very sure. Because those first fruits in the life of God's children, they are now just the beginning. And if that beginning may now be right, oh, then the end is also going to be right. And then there is also so much more that is to follow. The Lord does not forsake the work of his own hands. But now the lack of them, when we know nothing of those first fruits, though they are from our side, no guarantee, the lack of those first fruits, that is not a very good sign. No, it is even more, that is a very sure mark that is against us, because there has to be a beginning of those fruits of the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, congregation, do we also possess such first fruits? What are some of those first fruits? Oh, life itself is a first fruit. And that life that is germinating beneath the soil, no one can see it. Your neighbor cannot see it. Your mother maybe cannot see it, children.
your husband, your wife, or maybe no one can see it, but there is life. There is life that is germinating from the Lord. It is regeneration or a first fruit, the most necessary first fruit. That is that I come to see the reality of things that are not only natural, but those things that are also spiritual. That there is a God in heaven, that He is my creator, that He is my maker. That I am traveling to a great, to a never-ending eternity. Oh, do we know now in our life this first fruit, or is that first fruit completely lacking in our life? Then it is a very bad sign for us, congregation. Oh, those first fruits, do you know how that manifests itself in the heart of such a person? Then their back that is going onto this world. And they are turning. What does the Lord say? Turn ye unto me. And the Lord, He is indeed turning that people so that everything that they had sought in their life in this world and that is losing its value to them, and they are seeing the need of their soul, that their life that is turning itself about, that everything is taking a new turn in their life. Oh, then those first fruits include those saving impressions, an impression of the purpose of my creation, created to serve the Lord. The fall of man, my dead state, my state of misery, miserable state that I am without God in this world. Oh, have we never experienced something, even just a little beginning of those first fruits of the Spirit of the Lord? What are those first fruits? What is the Lord planting in the soul of His children? That is love. What did David say? He says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Oh, then we begin to love a God whom we did not know and still whom we know so little of. But the love of the heart that is going out after Him, it is a first fruit. Why? Because we read, we love Him because He first loved us. Oh, that cannot come from us, no. But when the Spirit of the Lord is working, then that first fruit of the Lord that is going out again unto Him, when there is life, then there is also hunger that belongs to that new life. Do we know that first fruit? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, as so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Then from panting after everything in this world, the soul is beginning to receive a new longing in its life. What belongs to those first fruits? To this belongs also sorrow. We read it is a sorrow not after the world, but it is a sorrow after a godly sort. Do you know such a sorrow? Do you know that sorrow that grieves because we have offended a God whom that we have come to love? What are those first fruits? There is also joy. Joy in what? You say, young people, I have joy already. I have joy when I may go ride on that vehicle that I may have, or when I may do this or that in this world. Then I love to do this. I really enjoy. Wait a moment. Oh, did you ever leap for joy because you realized that it was the Sabbath day? Say, that is different. That is different. Oh, I have leaped for joy, maybe, when it was Saturday.
when I could do what I wished in this world. But has it ever become different with the joy of your heart? Did you ever joy that you may come with the multitude, as we read in God's word, up to that house of the Lord? All that is part now of the first fruits, do those first fruits now exist in your life? Or are they completely missing? And they will be followed by that stripping work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, going forwards, backwards. So it is experienced, that way of decreasing, that way of cutting off. Or it will be followed by the opening of that holy word of God in all the impossibility in the life of that cut off people. The opening of grace, the opening in the Son of God, just a few of those first fruits. Are we strangers of them? Paul says that this people that have the first fruits, they are waiting. And what are they waiting for? Oh, when we have hunger, we wait to eat and we wait to drink. Do we and now also so wait? So that soul is waiting. So that soul is coming to the house of the Lord. So that soul is bowing its knees. So that soul is reading that holy word of God. And with a cry in his heart by his bedside, young people, oh Lord, and may I eat a little. And may I drink a little. May it become personal. And may it be for me. They are waiting. They are waiting for what? They are waiting for a token. A token that the Lord knows of me. A token that the Lord loves me. Oh, they are waiting for a kiss, we read in the Word of God. A kiss out of the mouth of the Lord. They are waiting for what? They are waiting for a word. They wait for a word that may come from his lips, that they may know for sure in all their doubts and in all their fears. They are waiting for what? They are waiting for his leading. All they are waiting, that they may know that next step that they have to go, because the psalmist says his way is in the sea, and that way is such a riddle to that people. Then they need to be led by him for all these things. That people, they have the first fruits, they are waiting. And yet there is more, because that is not yet what the apostle is speaking about in the words of our text. We see that further in our second thought, how they are waiting. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. Thus the manner of their waiting. And what is the manner of their waiting? They are groaning. Groaning, that is an indication of pain. That is an indication of discomfort. Did we ever groan in this world? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. And not only they, thus also the earth, also the whole creation of the Lord, the apostle says, they are groaning. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The earth upon which we are living, that is groaning, that has begun already from the very beginning, as soon as sin came into the world, when the earth would no longer bring forth its fruits, but it would bring forth thorns and thistles. And we read in the Word of God that the closer that we are coming to the end of the world, that the more that the earth is going to groan, and so we may experience it so lately, when the earth that is trembling, when there are earthquakes, and now in the week that is gone by, then we hear more how that the earth that is trembling and that it is groaning and that it is spewing forth under that sin of mankind, that the earth groans actually under the fall of man. How long is it able to bear up under the sin of the crown of God's creation? The animals also, the creatures the apostle speaks about, what do they have to do? They have to serve sinful man, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Subject to vanity, to our vanity, to our emptiness, subject to destruction because of what? Because they desired it? Because they willed it? No. No creature in this world will will his own destruction. Was it their own act? Was it their own inclination? No. They were subject unto vanity. Oh, they were subject to that vanity by God himself. That was a vanity that was imposed on all of the creation by God, because they have been made sharers in the punishment and in the curse of God due to the sin of man. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Ourselves also groaning. Who is that? Is that then the reprobate? Is that then the wicked? Is that then the unconverted? Is that then the Gentiles? Is it then those that know not God that are groaning? No, it isn't. He says it is those who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that is, the possessors of that new life, those that know a life of grace. It is young people, that blessed people of the Lord, that is now the life of that true church. That is not our word. No, that is the word of God. Contrary to all the idea, the professing of so many that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when is that groaning born? That groaning that is born in their birth, in their regeneration. When does that groaning end? That groaning that ends in their death. Is that all groaning then? Oh no, you have heard it. We have spoken a little of those first fruits. Oh, then we have spoken of that love. We have spoken of that joy. We have spoken of that hunger, of that thirst. No, no, then it is not all groaning. But, indeed, now we speak, we read of groaning. Then we see the riddle. Then we can feel a little of the riddle of the life of God's church. With all that is taking place, in all those first fruits, and with it all, groaning. Or we read of the second temple, that there was both singing and there was weeping. Do we know such a life? A life wherein a man is in his own heart a riddle unto himself. Indeed, that life of groaning we read here in God's word is a general characteristic of that life of God's church. And what is now the cause of that groaning? Is it bodily pain? Is it earthly sorrows? Is it all the carnal disappointments that God's children do receive in this world? Sadly, there is that groaning also, and entirely often too much of such groaning, because the world is also groaning under all those consequences of our sins. And God's church ought to take joyfully the spoiling of all their goods. But there is also another groaning. And that is what the apostle is speaking about in this word. A groaning which is unknown to all the world, and unknown also unto temporal faith. And what kind of a groaning is that? Children, you can probably tell me, I hope so, that is a groaning under sin. That is because sin that has become a burden. And if sin has become a burden, then a man will groan under this burden. And when has sin become a burden? Sin becomes a burden in that new birth. Thus, that burden that is received also in that day of regeneration. Then sin begins to pain the heart of the people. Then sin begins to sorrow. Then sin begins to grieve the people. Was there no consequence of sin in their life before? Certainly. Sin that bothered their conscience. Does it still bother their conscience? Certainly. But this they share with every man in this world. But now that new life, that new life that receives a burden under sin, that goes beyond the conscience, that descends into their heart. And it is based on that foundation of love that they have received as the first fruits, or the guilt of sin, that I have sinned against the law of God. We sing that sometimes deep, calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. Because when I have to appear before God, before his judgment seat, then the guilt of sin will become a burden unto me. But it is not alone the guilt of sin, but also the pollution of sin. And why does the pollution of sin become a burden? Because that new desire is born, and that desire is that I may come again into the presence of the Lord. That is a desire born in that new birth, that I may be reconciled unto Him. And when I feel not only the guilt of sin, but also the pollution of sin, and then I feel that I am so unfit to return into the presence of such a holy and a righteous God, then I make myself daily unworthy of His grace. Groan we ourselves, groan within ourselves. Sometimes we sing, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. O children, young people, remember that for every sin we have to give an account.
and what a burden that we are placing upon ourselves when we are walking in rebellion and disobedience to that holy law of God, groaning within ourselves for what? For indwelling sin, for the wretchedness of my flesh, for the evil of my thoughts, for the evil of the motives of my heart, all groaning. Why? Groaning because of the continuance of sin, because of the law that is in my members, O wretched man that I am, groaning because I am not able to rip that sin out of my life. I cannot rip that sin out of my heart. Groaning, why? Because of the warfare. Because Satan with his temptations, he is so very, very strong. Because it is a triple-headed enemy. And so many times, time and time again, it seems I am overcome by that enemy, so that I am taken by him and that I am falling again into sin, or groaning because of my wanderings and the temptations, the lusts of the flesh, and the desire of the eyes. Groaning, why? Groaning because of all of my infirmities, because of my carnality, because I cleave so to the earth, because of the example that I give to my children. Oh, groaning, why? Groaning because of my vanity, because of my emptiness, vanity of vanities. All is vanity, vanity in my heart, vanity in my life, vanity in my children. Oh, all so, so empty, empty of that one thing that is so needful. Oh, groaning, why? Groaning because I am so defiled, even in my most holy duties. Oh, that I cannot pray, that my mind that is wandering all over the globe, and that I am appearing in prayer before such a holy and a righteous God. Oh, we ourselves groan within ourselves. Groaning, why? Groaning because of the lack of groaning. Groaning because the lack of the felt burden of sin. Groaning because I say that I do not groan as I ought to groan. Because I do not feel my sin as I ought to feel my sin. Oh, groaning that I may have a sigh for a sigh, that I may have a cry for a cry. Groaning, why? Groaning because of my sloth. Groaning because of the darkness. Groaning because of the hiding of the face of the Lord. Because it has been so long ago. Groaning, why? Groaning for the church of God. Groaning for the denomination. Groaning because it seems that everything that slides so far backwards. Because we are going all together. Oh, we go so far the way of the world. Groaning. Groaning because of the world conformity. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears. Groaning, why? Groaning because I remember the former days, and it was so different. And when I came up to that house of the Lord, with grief I think of days gone by, when oft I trod that hallowed way. Groaning. Groaning, why? Because of the persecutions. Because of all the persecutions of the world? No, because of the persecutions that are within the house of the Lord, in our own circles. Because even now, they do not understand what the groaning is within my heart. And because I become so a byword, even among those people, that you hope they would understand what is going on within. Oh, and not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. Waiting for what? Let us sing first, Psalter 440. But it is getting late already, so let us sing only the second verse. Second verse of 440, will the Lord cast off forever ties of covenant friendship sever? Will he show his face no more as he did in days of yore? And what follows in the second verse of Psalter 440.
and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves. Young people, maybe you say, what a life. What a life, groaning, that is depressing. And why should I desire now such a life? Oh, then I want nothing to do with such a depressing life. Wait a moment, because that is not so. And why not? Calvin, he writes this so beautifully that I will say it the way he said it. Because the pangs of that groaning, they are not the pangs of death, but they are the pangs of birth. Is there not such a great difference between these two things? The pangs of death and the pangs of birth. What do we read in the Word of God about her, and that is to bring forth her firstborn child? What is now a travail? What is now a pain? What is now a groaning greater than that belongs unto her? And yet, what do we read in God's Word? That when that child is born, she forgets. She forgets all that pain, and she forgets all that suffering. Why? For joy. For joy that a man has been brought into this world. And what does Paul say here? He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Thus, there is in all that groaning, there is an expectation. That is what that mother feels. And in all that suffering, she is looking forward to something. And all that expectation in the life of that people, that is now sufficient that they would not trade that entire life of groaning for all the joy that is in this world. What does Paul say? He says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Thus saved by hope. And it is that hope that is bringing that church through an entire life of groaning. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creatures, Paul says, the creatures are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, when the sons of God will become manifest before all the world. When is that day? That is in the judgment day. That all the world, they will see who are the true sons of God. And now the creatures are waiting for that moment. And why are the creatures, why is the earth, why are the animals, why are the beasts, why are they waiting for that moment? Because they are going to share in it. We do not know how,
But we read here that they are made subject to vanity, but that subjection to vanity is not a final subjection. It is not forever. No, we read that that they are made subject to vanity in hope. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. What does that mean? That there is for this world coming an end to this misery, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And so we read in God's word of a new heaven and a new earth. And we have to cease there, because we know so little of all that which is going to be. But if that is now going to be so for the creation, how much more for those who have the first fruits? And if the creation is waiting, oh, how much more those who have the first fruits waiting, we read, for what? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, waiting for the final deliverance, the redemption of the body that is a fruit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he called? He is called the first fruits of them that slept. And there is an objective deliverance for God's people, that is the deliverance in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is also a subjective deliverance that is taking place within the life and in the heart of his children. Boys and girls, what is now the first deliverance that takes place? That is the deliverance from death, from the state of death in the new birth. Then you are delivered. From what are you delivered? Then you are delivered from the dominion of sin. As the apostle says, sin hath no more dominion over you. Not that sin does not live then in the people, but it has no more dominion. It will not bring them into death. That is the first deliverance. And they may experience a deliverance in the revelation of that Son of God, when in all their wretchedness the Lord may open unto them a way where from their side there is no way. That is a deliverance that the people will never forget. A deliverance in regeneration. There is a deliverance also in the revelation of the Son of God. From what are then they delivered? They are delivered from the darkness. Not that there is never darkness afterwards. However, when they have seen it, when they have seen him, or a small part of his countenance, and what that little word grace that means, then they are delivered from the darkness of despair because of that broken covenant. There is another deliverance. There is a deliverance in their justification. There is a deliverance in the court of their conscience. Then they are delivered by the judge himself from the curse of the law when he speaks. And yet, there is another deliverance to come. And what is that deliverance? That is a deliverance in their death, a deliverance in their resurrection. And then from what is that people going to be delivered? They're going to be delivered from all sin. They're going to be delivered from an old man. They're going to be delivered from the warfare. The redemption of our body. What is a redemption? That is a price paid for the relief of a prisoner, of a slave. First, that price is paid. And when the price is paid, then he is delivered out of his bondage. And so the apostle is now speaking about the redemption. That is to deliver the people from a body of sin and death. When this mortality will put on immortality, and when this corruption that will put on incorruption, what will that now be? To be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. All in this life delivered, indeed, from the dominion of sin, from the side of the Lord, in this life receiving a hope, in this life maybe even being led into the forgiveness of their sin, but soon more. And what does he call it? He calls it the adoption. The adoption. And the adoption that is finally to be brought into that blessed family of God. That is to receive the full liberty from the law. The full liberty from the law of sin and death, to be free from guilt, to be free from pollution, to be free from the burden of sin, to be free from the sorrow, from the grief of sin, to be free from the separation that is due to sin. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan, within ourselves waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Here, congregation, is the comfort for the true church of God. Under the cross, in the groaning, in the travailing in birth, under the persecutions, under a body of sin and death, do you have such a comfort? Do you also have such a comfort? Do you have such a comfort to whom sin has never become a burden? Who have never wept, who have never grieved once, because you have sinned against your Maker, your Creator, your Provider, every day. Now you delight in sin. Now you delight in the service of this world, and whatever it may be that your heart is seeking after. But soon you will groan. Oh, soon you will weep. Soon you will gnash your teeth to all eternity. Is that then such a miserable people who today are groaning under the burden and under the grief of sin? Because they have an expectation, and there is coming a time when they are never going to weep again, because God, He is going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. John says,
does not yet appear what we shall be, but that we shall be like him. And then they shall worship him, and they shall worship him without sin, in all perfection, in the purity of body and of soul. Oh, how it ought to make that people to be patient, under all their afflictions, who are partakers of the first fruits of the Spirit of the Lord. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come and not tarry. James says this, be patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, when we are strangers, then wilt thou grant us new life. And when we are not strangers, that thou may comfort us with these words. And that thou may grant that patience and also a fighting in that warfare which is worthy of thee. Look upon us in the rest of this day. Give us a desire to be together in this afternoon hour under the administration of word and also in thy holy sacrament. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 440, the last two stanzas. Shall his wrath my way attending? So I asked in sorrow bending, ever stem his wondrous grace. No, not the last two. It's numbers 3 and 4. 3 and 4 of Psalter 440. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.